everyone, this is Leslyn Keith. I'm the President of the Board of Directors at the Lipedema Project and Director of Research. Welcome to Living Well with Lipedema. Today I have an excerpt from a presentation given by Siobhan Huggins at our Heart to Heart virtual event that was held on March 31, April 1 and 2, 2023. Siobhan is the research specialist at the Lipedema Project. She's a young woman with lipedema herself and has been using a ketogenic diet for a number of years to manage her symptoms. In this excerpt, she talks about what a ketogenic diet is, some precautions, as well as she shows how it could have huge benefits just to take small steps.
I wanted to emphasize something here because I think it's really important. We're not here to talk about diet. I think a lot of us here have a lot of experience with this diet culture, restriction. I have a feeling you're not going to hear the word calorie even once, except for when I just said it now. We probably won't talk much about calorie restriction. And the important aspect here is that when we're talking about ketogenic diets for lipedema, we are talking about it as a form of self-care and as a management tool. So don't get scared. So what is a ketogenic way of eating? It is usually around 15 to 30% protein by calories. So it can be lower protein or higher protein, depending on the needs and preferences of the person. Carbs are kept very, very low, usually between 20 and 50 grams of carbs per day. And that can be a big change for people. So an important thing to understand is that you don't have to do this all at once. And there's an alternative I'll mention at the end as well. Recommended sources of carbohydrates are things like above ground vegetables, seafood, low sugar berries, things like that. So kind of whole food sources, healthy fats to satiety. So you use that as your new energy source instead of carbohydrates so that you have enough energy to, you know, be active throughout the day, do all you need to do within your body. And this results in something called nutritional ketosis. And this is a result of using fat for energy. And you also make ketones as a byproduct. That's why it's called a ketogenic diet, because you're making ketones. It is not the same thing as ketoacidosis. So sometimes when you bring up keto with doctors, they'll say, no, that's dangerous. You can't do that. They're probably thinking of ketoacidosis, which is an uncontrolled production of ketones in someone who is not producing enough insulin. Or they're very insulin resistant. So side effects are typically mild and short term. There's been lots of reports on this from people who use ketogenic diets in their practice, doctors, stuff like that. It can include stuff like headaches, constipation, muscle aches. This is sometimes called keto flu, but it's typically just electrolyte fluctuation. Sometimes you can use fluid, get a little bit dehydrated, and usually it can be remedied with supplementation of sodium and magnesium, like an electrolyte supplement, and then potassium from food. You can find that in seafood, stuff like that. This is what it can look like. So this is not a deprivation diet. This is not a miserable diet. It is not anything like that. In my experience, ketogenic diets can be extremely pleasurable, extremely satiating, and just fun. There's plenty of fun that can be had within the realm of ketogenic diets. One thing I also like to emphasize with people is that if there's anything on here that's like, oh, I don't like that, I hate asparagus, or I don't like eggs, or I have an egg allergy, something like that, there's no required food on ketogenic diets. You don't need to eat bacon if you don't like it. So that's one thing. So it's kind of eat the things that you enjoy within the ketogenic realm if you decide to try it out, and don't eat the stuff you don't like. I don't like liver. I don't eat it. The other important aspect is that if people do decide to try a ketogenic diet and you do have conditions like diabetes or hypertension, things like that, if you're on glucose-lowering medications, if you're on blood pressure medications, psychiatric medications, you really do need to work with a doctor in that case, because levels can fluctuate. And then also your blood pressure and blood sugar may go down really rapidly and you don't want to over-medicate. So just keep that in mind as well. And then finally, there's this paper, which is talking about low carb versus moderate carb. So in the low carb group, they had the same amount of protein in each group. The keto group was around 28 grams of carbs per day. And like I mentioned, that's between that 20 and 50 grams that's usually used with ketogenic diets. And then the low carb or moderate carb group was around 200 grams of carbs. So back to that Norwegian study, I think around the same level as that, but also much lower than people normally get with standard American diets, which can be 300 or above grams of carbs per day. And this was a 16-week intervention, 91 patients with lipedema, so much larger group here. And with this, what they found was that both groups benefited. So lowering carbs a little bit to this moderate carb level improved. And then what happened in the keto group was that they improved even more so. So I bring this up to mention that, you know, if ketogenic diets are a big change, and changing food in general can be really difficult for people. There's habits built in. There's, you know, family relations built in terms of what you eat, sometimes cultural, sometimes religious. And it can be a big thing, even if you're doing it for a really good reason. And this one is just to say, even if you start making smaller changes, if you wanted to explore low carb for you, you could just swap out some of the starchy vegetables, move more towards this moderate carb type of intervention and still get some benefit from that. And then over time, if you still have improvements that you want to be making, you can eventually shift to keto over time. And this slower approach can be helpful for some people to prevent some of that keto flu. So it's more of a slower transition. If you have medications that may need to be adjusted, this can be helpful because it gives you more of a time span to lower and eventually come off of medication in some cases. And also it can just be easier psychologically for some people. But this does depend because there's this kind of viewpoint of there's moderators and abstainers. So moderators have an easier time just limiting, but not completely getting rid of. And abstainers have a really hard time moderating things. And then there are also rule followers and kind of general guideline-y people. I'm more of a person who did better with an abrupt transition. I wanted to know the rules of what keto was and how it worked and just follow those rules immediately. Other people may find that really difficult. So regardless of which way you go about it, both of these can be really helpful and other diets as well. But this is kind of our focus because I feel like it does have the most scientific backing behind it and the most dramatic changes when it's implemented.
Thank you, Siobhan. And that was only one of the wonderful presentations that you gave at the event, which was just a remarkable event as a whole, but thank you for all your contributions to it. If you are interested in finding out more about the recordings of this event, please contact us at lipedemasimplified.org. And also a big thank you to all of you who are listening here today. If you haven't already subscribed to our daily flash briefings of tips, tools, and research about lipedema, you can subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, or here at this website, lipedema-simplified.org/flash, where you'll find an archive of all of our flash briefings. You can now also follow Living Well with Lipedema on Amazon Music and get new episodes as they become available. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another Living Well with Lipedema flash briefing.